C1G, number 8A.
We go on the fourth day of creation, and we come to principle as soul. And you will recognize soul at once, even in the biblical text, which says, and God made two great lights. The greater light to rule the day, that would be the sun, and the lesser light to rule the night, that would be the moon. He made the stars also. So we have sun, moon, and stars. What they bring out is that the greater rules the lesser, and that is always a tone of soul. In soul, that is supreme, that is that where soul governs the body, that the higher always controls the lesser, and that is brought out in this verse. My epitome to it is this. In divine metaphysics, the greater rules the lesser, thereby bringing out harmony. So you have a sense of principle bringing out harmony. How? Through soul, through the ruling of the greater over the lesser. By the ruling of the sun over the moon, this is the symbol here. Well, what does it mean spiritually? You know, as we have been considering principle as mind, that principle says, let there be the elements of divine metaphysics, like the seven and the four and the symbols. And as principle, as spirit has said, you know, and that structure should be reflected in understanding, so that the categories of being are the same categories in understanding through which you understand being, then something within us would say, yes, but that does that work? Does that take care of all my problems? And so the Bible says, yes, the greater light will rule the lesser by night. It will therefore rule the night, it will rule error, it will rule our problem, it will rule everything that is lesser than God's principle. And Mrs. Eddy gives here again interesting interpretations. She not only starts out with what seems to be obvious, that she says that soul is outside the body, that it is a metaphorical representation, or that the sun is a metaphorical representation of soul outside the body, giving existence and intelligence to the universe. Okay, we know now the greater is ruling the lesser. But then she says something interesting again. She says that this mind is shining by its own light and governing the universe in perfect harmony. That's what we like. We want to see that principle, that is harmony, reflects itself on the plane of our existence as also as harmony. But how? She doesn't leave it like that. In other chapters, she would talk also about how God governs the body harmoniously, that He governs man harmoniously, that God governs the universe harmoniously. You have the same relationship of the greater ruling the lesser. But here she is interested actually not primarily in soul, but in principle, and asking, but how does soul govern the lesser? And so she says here that this mind forms ideas, its own images, subdivides. Can you hear principle? Subdivides and radiates their borrowed light and intelligence. And thus explains really what is meant by the seed within itself. Can you see what she says? She doesn't just give that statement, the blunt statement saying, well, you see, soul is outside the body, soul is the greater, soul governs the universe, your body, man, and the universe. Here she said, soul governs here from the point of view of principle. That principle is actually that which gives the modus operandi of soul governing the body. And that modus operandi of principle is that it takes an idea, that it subdivides the idea, and radiates their borrowed light, and in this way it does it. Can you see again, the whole subject is coming up again, that principle is not just one big mass or some big terrific piece, that somehow now goes to man and says, I'm going to govern you. But that principle is a very delicate, refined structure, system. And therefore, through that structure and system, that principle can, what she says here, subdivide the ideas and subdivide, say, so that it brings out the exact idea for a situation. Just like arithmetic. You'd also take arithmetic and say, the same thing arithmetic can solve every arithmetical problem. Don't you say that? Can resolve every calculation. Bang, finished. And it's true. But with that, you can't demonstrate it. How are you going to demonstrate arithmetic when you have to solve a specific calculation? You have to go to the whole arithmetic and say, what kind of category is involved in my calculation? Is this now an addition or a subtraction or a division or a multiplication? Can you see? You begin really to subdivide arithmetic in its category. And then you say, oh yes, that's really, a subtraction. Then from that point on you say, how can I now subtract? What are the rules of subtraction? And so you begin to rarify within really the category of subtraction that specific way which will solve your calculation. We do the same thing in arithmetic. What Mrs. Eddy asked to do in the science of creation. That we can see that soul only operates through its principle and not just by itself. Soul reflects every other synonymous term naturally. In order that soul can control the lesser, it needs the principle of control. And so here again we can see all that is necessary at this point is that we take the ideas of mind and spirit and soul which have found their identity and now say, where do they belong? What is their place value within a system? And begin to see that there must first be a system, principle as mind, that principle reflects itself in understanding, that we can understand that principle through that system, that was principle as spirit. And now when we understand that principle, we can demonstrate it, that the greater controls the lesser, the principle demonstrates any situation. So we have principle as soul, can you see? The greater demonstrating the lesser, which brings us then to principle as principle, which says, in order to do that, you must interpret every situation from the point of view of principle. Principle as principle. From the point of view of principle, you must interpret a situation. Interpretation is an idea of principle. So you have principle in its own nature, principle as principle. The Bible brings it out like this. It says, and God set them in the firmament. Can you see now these lights are put into the firmament? We put now the whole system of principle into the firmament. We make it firm in heaven, into the firmament of heaven, to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night. Yes? And to divide the light from the darkness, and God saw that it was good. You see, she nearly repeats the same thing as in principle as soul. Namely, she repeats that there must be a system where the greater controls the lesser, where it controls even darkness, even the world of belief, where that darkness upon the face of the error which we had in verse 2, that is now being taken care of through the principle, that therefore that principle, the greater governing the lesser, is also taking care of the realm of belief. So that principle is omnipotent, not only in the realm of truth, but also in the realm of belief. All that was brought out in principle as soul, and now she said, now set that whole thing into the firmament of heaven. Meaning, now see that you use that system constantly from the point of view of principle, so that you interpret everything from principle through the system of principle. Yeah? Isn't that clear? See? My epitome is that divine metaphysics interprets all in the divine light. I could also have said that divine principle interprets everything from the standpoint of principle. But I wanted to bring in the terminology that is involved here in the Bible and also in Mrs. Eddy's explanation. What does she say to that biblical verse? Under the marginal heading of darkness scattered, because it says that it divides the light from the darkness, so it's scattered. She says, in divine science, isn't that interesting? In divine science, she comes always back, you know, to verse 1 and 2, where she has shown that the accent, really, from which we have to work in Genesis, in the chapter Genesis, is actually divine science, love including its idea. Where there is no, where matter, she said, is unknown, where therefore darkness is unknown, darkness is scattered, where we do not quarrel with darkness, where we're not struggling with darkness, but it's scattered, it's excluded. So she says, in divine science, which is the seal of deity, which has the impress of heaven, see, divine science has that impress of heaven. God is revealed as infinite light. So you have here in divine science always that tone of infinite light. Not the tone of let there be light. Not the tone of the light shineth in the darkness and the darkness comprehendeth it not. You see, these are very different levels of consciousness. It is that highest level of consciousness which he already had indicated in verse 2, where she said that God is really that infinite light. Just let me read it. Where she said, God is all in all, and the light of ever-present love illumines the universe. Where there is just infinite light. That's our standpoint here. So that we can see from divine science or divine metaphysics, we can interpret everything only in the divine light. Never to interpret the universe anymore from a human standpoint, from a material standpoint. Never interpret the universe anymore in any other light but that light of principle. Do we do that? We don't, but we know we shouldn't. We absolutely know that Genesis is right. to divine signs, look out from divine signs, and see what we see in the light of divine signs. And finally, we have the further verse, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Well, for an ordinary reader, that doesn't mean anything. It's just an arrangement of numbers, first day, second day, third day, fourth day. And Mrs. Eddy gives an explanation of that verse. And it's a terrific explanation. It's an explanation that goes right to the core of our life progress, what we are doing with our life. She says there, the changing glow and full effulgence. You see, it's again a changing glow and then full effulgence. We can see the ascending sense, where first just a little bit of light comes in, and then if we nurture that light, it becomes bigger and bigger. We add to the light, we add to spirit, we add soul, we add principle, it becomes bigger and bigger. So that changing glow and full effulgence of God's infinite ideas, images, mark the periods of progress. And you get here a sense of principle as life. It is progress, it's infinite progression, it's concrete being. That's the tone of life, but built on periods. Periods of God's ideas. Does that make sense? Does it make any sense that is warm to our life, that is terrific for our life? For most students, it doesn't. For most students, they say, oh, that's fine, we will have periods of progress. You know, things will get brighter and brighter. Well, that's just hope. That's not science. Science shows us something absolutely terrific. And it's a point that I point out practically in every summer school, and I never have a feeling that anybody has really reacted on it. So I say it again. I may not accomplish a better job than up to now. Would we all like spiritual progress? Yes. On that we agree. How would we get spiritual progress? On that we do not agree. Because we don't believe in periods. And periods are actually here in the science, are actually categories. Just as the seasons are periods. Periods are really bringing out a certain category. So that we have only progress if we go out from principle, and let principle, through principle as spirit, shine on the earth into our understanding. And as principle as soul begin to control our understanding, the higher controlling the lesser. And principle as principle beginning to see that we always have to go out from principle in order to interpret something rightly. And if we do that, that principle as principle interpreting itself to us, will always interpret itself to us in periods. In periods. Because we are not at that point where the full effulgence, the full revelation just comes in one go, in 1 second, and there it is, and that's finished. That not even happened to Mrs. Eddy. She had her periods of spiritual progress. The periods of teaching, the periods of writing, the periods of healing, the periods of governing. But even that is an outward sign. The deeper meaning is this. The deeper meaning is this. That if we actually devote our life and study, our interest in the subject, to principle, and interpret constantly from principle, and begin to culture our understanding, principle as soul, constantly from principle. What does that mean, from principle? It means from principle as mind, which says, I have categories, I have the seven and I have the four, the days and the season. If we let our understanding be cultured along the categories of what is mind, what is spirit, what is soul, principle, what is life, what is truth, what is love, over years and years, what is the Word, what is the Christ, what is Christianity, what is science, over years. If we think out over years, you see, it's always days and seasons and years. And if we think out over years, what is the Word order, what is the Christ order, what is the Christianity order, what is the science order, if we think in the period, if we think in the category of Christian science, absolute Christian science, divine science, science, over and over, listening to God, listening to these categories, then actually we do what we are doing, what is said here in principle as principle. We interpret from principle through the categories. And we are not letting ourselves be sidetracked by 10,000 of questions and little questions and question marks and problems and little problems and all the other gnats that are strained. And if you do that, then principle leads us into periods. What kind of periods? It leads us into a period of study of a subject that principle has determined, and not into a subject that we have determined we are going to study. And if we interpret that period lovingly, constantly, patiently, with awe, with value, with a worship sense, with an sense of expectation, then we culture that period and culture it and become stronger and becomes warmer, it becomes bigger. And you know what happened at a certain point? That something, that a new period begins to grow out of that period. And we not even notice it until perhaps half a year afterwards, perhaps a year afterwards, perhaps 3 years afterwards, that way back a new period has been brought into line for us. So that if we really follow that, if we want to have periods of progress, we never really should leave it to our decision what is our next subject to study, what is our next big period. That should flow out of principle's own reservoir. And principle should dictate on us, and will dictate on us, what is the next subject that is adapted to us, to our individual study. And the effect of it, the result of it, is what? That it is a period of progress. That is, that these periods, the plural, that they are periods of progress. Namely, that then our whole life, starting rightly from that standpoint on, is one unfoldment of the subject, not an unfoldment of our business and our bank account. It's the unfoldment of the subject in an ordered sequence. In an ordered sequence. So that the preceding period is always the seed plot for the next period. So that the second period is always that which gives, which nurtures first the conditions that are necessary for the third period. And in this way you really get into the chain of scientific being and gives to you one great line of development, of spiritual development, without any break in between, without any gulf in between. You are not jumping from one subject to the next subject to the other subject. It's an inward evolution that takes place. If I look back on my life, that's how it happened over the last 45 years. The moment I began to touch science, after having searched for years and years, what is the science in this textbook, and never found it, only atomistic answers, you know, law is law, order is order. The moment I touched it, about 45 years ago, I can trace it, that right there was the seed plot. And I could see that sticking always to the categories of being and always doing that, what principle as principle says, interpret the universe from principle in the infinite light according to categories. I was only interested in categories. I was interested only in categories, nothing else. Reading the Bible, interested in categories. Reading the textbook, interested in categories. So that, at that point one can see, was a seed plot, and from there all the periods developed. First, it was a long period of just studying the seventh synonymous term. Out of that period flowed suddenly the study of the four. Out of that period, suddenly, the Bible was coming into the center as a symbolization of the seven and the four, giving again the fertile ground for suddenly seeing the textbook in its structure. Without the Bible, I couldn't have seen the structure of the textbook. So the period of seeing the structure of the textbook evolved. From that period followed laws. Laws that define the structure. From that it follows the seeing the Bible anew in its structure. And so we came to the cybernetic idea, then to the text interpretation idea. And all that was going on before was, so to say, the necessary ground, the necessary fertile ground, so that something new could grow up. It wasn't so that I said one day, now I'm interested in the Bible, I study the Bible. Oh yes, I've done that. Now what shall I do next? You see, that's not periods of progress. Principle interprets itself, out of itself, through system, through categories.